This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. The YWCA's Vocational Training Opportunities Centre, or VTOC, was initiated to provide skills training for underprivileged young women and girls from economically disadvantaged families. Among others, the aim of the programme was to enable the participants to achieve self-determination and self-reliance in all areas of life. And it's set to celebrate its 20th anniversary this month. And I find out more about what the centre has achieved over the past two decades and their plans moving forward. Forward from Joanne Yeo. She's the president of the YWCA Kuala Lumpur, and she's also the board governor of the YWCA's Vocational Training Opportunity Centre. Welcome, Joanne. How are you today?
Fine, thank you very much, Juliet.
Thank you so much for joining us. So let's get to know you a little bit better, Joanne. I mean, what inspired you to join the YWCA and get involved with their line of work?
What happened was through my Soroptimist International Damansara network, we provide work readiness programs for the young girls there before they actually go to work. And from there, then I was invited to come on board. And of course, along the way, they have also said that, you know, I should take on the presidency. So I said, okay, but only for a limited time. Now we're in the thick of things, because other than just running the YWCA and the VTOC, as we call it in short, we're also doing massive renovations. Our buildings are so old, 1953, 1963. Wow. No renovation since then. So we're a team of us are just leading across and getting our renovations done, because part of the money that runs the operations of the VTOC comes from income generating from rental. Okay. And as you know, the YWCA is very much into hostel accommodation.
Yes.
If you know, it's not only in Malaysia, it's everywhere in the world. And if you remember that during probably the 1950s, you had a lot of young women in Kuala Lumpur that were looking for a safe place to stay. Mm-hmm. And it is true, we don't allow men in our hostels, only young women and girls. So they rent the hostels in there. It's shared bathrooms, okay? I can't change the configuration, no ensuite bathrooms. But we get rental up from there, and from there, we actually run our operations, especially on the Vocational Training Opportunity Centre.
Okay, yeah. All right. I mean, and for those who are not familiar with what, you know, YWCA of Kuala Lumpur, I mean, it was established a long time ago.
It was established in 1913.
13, right?
Yeah, it was established by the expatriate women. Mm-hmm. And therefore, to bring along actually a lot of the expatriate women and joining them into all amount of activities. Mm-hmm. And only in the 1950s that the local women actually took over the helm of the YWCA.
Okay.
And so I think there were two very prominent ladies during the 1950s, and they were Mrs. P.C. Au Yong and Mrs. Goh Kwee Ting. They were sort of the pioneers in the local women who were the pioneers in the YWCA.
Okay.
And so in 1939, the Y actually managed to get through our philanthropist, Mr. Chu Cheng Kei, a piece of land. But it wasn't where it was. It was actually in Jalan Birch. So during the war, the buildings got razed. And so then the Y decided to go and appeal to the government to seek compensation for war damages.
Mm-hmm.
And then the government was really nice. We were blessed with this piece of land that were given in exchange. So that was how we managed to start the first building in 1953. Subsequently, we built a second hostel in 1963. But actually, the main reason was to provide hostel accommodation for working women in Kuala Lumpur.
Mm-hmm. And a safe.
It was a safe place, yeah, to actually stay. Yeah.
Okay. And but then from then on, like you said, you know, you started doing more projects and more programs started coming from there. So talk to me about that, you know, what came from there.
So in the 1950s, there was a very active lady called Mrs. Kathleen Tung, and she set up a number of clubs and sporting activities, such as the Wednesday Morning Club, which still exists today. Okay.
Uh-huh. What is the Wednesday Morning Club?
The Wednesday Morning Club is a bunch of ladies who get together. The first thing they will do is that they will always bring in, it's a potluck. So everybody brings in something they've cooked, you know, that's the first thing about women, yeah? We all learn how to cook and eat, right? then they will have little programs, like for this day, there will be a health talk. Tomorrow, next week, there will be a cooking demonstration. Or then, let's say, for example, Deepavali is around, it has already passed, but we're going to have a little Deepavali gathering.
Sure.
So it's actually a nice way where the ladies come together. It's women of the same, more or less probably the same age, same wavelength, you know, their interests are the same. Right. So that's where companionship has actually grown up among the ladies.
Mm-hmm. So these are basically the volunteers of YWCA?
And they're actually members. We actually have got members, okay? Volunteers are different. The volunteers come in and they provide, it could be, say, English enrichment classes, or they provide some kind of talents that they have. Like, for example, flower arrangement, if you're good in flower arrangement, or you're good in other some other programs, then they'll come in and help. Mm-hmm. So the volunteers are a separate thing. Like all the board members, for example, we don't get paid, okay? We come in, we volunteer our services, we volunteer our time.
Sure. Yeah. Okay, all right. And sorry, I interrupted you just now. That was the first one, the Wednesday.
Yes. And then there were other clubs such as the Y Little Theatre and even the Hockey Club. And of course, cookery, dressmaking courses, you know, and Keep Fit classes was part and parcel of keeping, you know, all the ladies together. And of course, I would like to put on record that YWCA Care actually initiated the establishment of the NCWO.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yes, and we had a very good training course for general house workers, so that actually basically after that they could go out and work in all the hotels. Mm-hmm. That was another course that we initiated. And then in the 1980s, we set up a Glen Mary Learning Centre, which was actually catered for the Glen Mary Estate, the children of the Glen Mary Estate.
Okay.
Glen Mary Estate has actually disappeared now. It's more housing and anything else. But there is still a lot of the children from those families in there, around there, who are actually really of the marginalised community. So we have a little centre there, play centre, actually for all the children. Mm-hmm. So this has been going on and is still existing even today.
So little that we know about, you know, so many things that's happening.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then what happened was that in 1990s, then it saw the VTOC project started to get shape. Okay. And because it took us so long to fundraise. Okay. And if it was not for Datuk Pei Teck Kui, he was an architect. And, you know, he gave us this IOU kind of arrangement. He says, okay, I build, you guys pay me later. He was such an angel, okay? Then because of that, we managed to get the building. And in 1998, saw the first batch of our VTOC trainees.
Okay, yeah. So talk to me about VTOC. I mean, like, who are the women? I mean, it's all for women again, right?
Yes,
for young girls and women.
Right.
And is there like a selection process of who gets to join?
Yes. The girls, we train about 100 girls a year in vocational skills, such as, let me name some of them.
Please.
Culinary and baking, okay, beauty care and hairdressing, commerce, early childhood education, and sewing and tailoring. And so what these girls do is that the criteria is that you must be in your B40 group.
Okay.
One of the other criteria is that, you know, you are in the BRIM group. And so you know that these are marginalized. And we also take children from the homes. Mm-hmm. We also take children from single parent families. So when they come in for these 12 months, they don't really pay anything. Mm-hmm. We actually fund the whole entire board, instructions, everything.
So they stay with you?
They stay with us.
Okay.
And it's important they stay. We also experimented with day students, but it still doesn't work. You know, when they stay with us, then we can put in a lot more programs. Because other than just this diploma and this certificate courses, we also provide a whole lot more of other courses such as English enrichment, even ethics and good behavior classes, giving them personal development. Because many of them come from families that have family issues.
Right.
So we even provide things like counseling, okay, on a very periodic way. Okay. Mm-hmm. So for us, when they are with us, then we can actually help to build their character, build them and motivate them. Because they all come in, you know, some of them come in is because, well, you know, mom and dad wants me to come in here, so I'm here, you know. And so what we want to turn them into is that they're motivated. They have all the talents, okay. And so that's why this work readiness program actually trains them even before they go to work.
Right.
Okay, they get an actual certificate from, it's actually American-based curriculum. And so when they go out, you know, employers know that, hey, they have been trained, okay? So when these girls get the talents, okay, then they can go out and consider doing other things just other than doing for a job. Maybe they can go and set up their own businesses. You'd be surprised. Our culinary and baking girls, their cakes are so good, okay? They can really go and on par and go and set up their own business. So what we have introduced over the last 1 year was social enterprise.
Mm.
We started training the girls in social enterprise. And so much of us at the board help to market. And what they do is that then they get orders. The orders come in, they do, and they get paid.
Yeah.
So they get a little fee. So it's like training them to be how to be a social entrepreneur.
Yeah.
So that is the way we want to go with these girls. So that in other words, we broaden their mind. We teach them about e-commerce as well, yeah, so that they can go out and they can actually chart their own direction where they want to be.
Mm-hmm. So these girls, have they finished school already, or are they, because they're there with you for a whole year, right? And this is an intensive, I would, yes, imagine an intensive course.
Yes. You see, some of the girls are dropouts.
Right. Okay.
They finish form three. They don't want to go back to school.
Right.
I would say that in this particular group of girls this year, many of them have finished SPM.
That's wonderful.
Okay. And I'm really glad. But also some of the courses require you to have at least 3 credits in SPM, especially your early childhood education and your certificate in commerce.
Mm-hmm.
The early childhood education is a collaboration between us and Deakin College. And at the end of the 2-year training program, they actually get a diploma.
Wow.
Okay, in, mm-hmm, early childhood education, which means that after that, they can go and pursue a degree, which most of them will do.
Okay,
so this is a good step for them. And bulk of our girls for the early childhood education actually come from Sabah. From
Sabah.
East Malaysia. Yes.
Okay.
30% of our girls at the VTOC come from East Malaysia.
Okay, so they've come here specifically for this program?
Yes.
Or they've okay.
They come here specifically for this program. So we fund their FS, for example. We fund their board and everything else. And when they go back for their holidays, you know, we will help them in whatever we can. But we cannot be, we cannot always be paying for their FS. But definitely to bring them and going and sending them back, we will provide the FS, for example.
Okay, all right. And we're going to talk a little bit more about, you know, all the programs and, you know, all the progress that you've made after this quick break. I'm speaking today to Joanne Yeo. She's the president of the YWCA Kuala Lumpur. She's also the board governor of the YWCA's Vocational Training Opportunities Center of VTOC. And we're talking about how the VTOC empowers young women through business and vocational training. And they're celebrating their 20th anniversary this month. And we're going to find out more about all the activities planned after this. You are listening to Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. In the studio with me today, the very lovely Joanne Yeo. She's the president of the YWCA Kuala Lumpur. She's a board governor of the YWCA's Vocational Training Opportunities Centre, or VTOC, who is a centre that empowers young women through business and vocational training. They're celebrating their 20th anniversary this year, and we're finding out more about everything that they've been doing. So 20 years, that is a long time. So you've been able, I would say, to sort of measure impact as well.
Oh, yes.
Right. So talk to me about that, you know, your successes, and we'll talk about challenges a bit later. But
yeah,
Let's talk about the successes first.
So if you look at over the 20 years, we've actually enabled, I would say, or empowered 1,594 girls.
Amazing.
And they leave here from the VTOC reinforced with determination and dignity to face the challenges when they go out to the working world.
Mm.
Maybe I'll just share one success story.
Please.
I'd like to share about this lady who's called Tana Leshmi Nadesan, who's actually the current head of our sewing and tailoring class. Tana was actually abandoned when she was young.
Okay.
She ended up in a children's home, and she was actually shuttled between foster families for a while. And then in 1999, one of her aunties asked her, why doesn't she come into the VTOC and learn a skill? So she came in. I think the only skill that they could put her in was sewing and tailoring. You know, one day she told us, she said, actually, when I first came in, I hated sewing and tailoring.
I can understand. I hated myself.
But she said, after I did my first A-line skirt, I managed to get the interest going. And my goodness, after that, she just stayed on. She finished the course. Then after that, her aim was basically to actually set up her own business. But she enjoyed herself teaching the girls that she came back. And she has been our teacher since, I think, 2004, I think.
Wow.
That's a very long
14
time.
Years. That's a long time.
So she teaches the girls. She teaches about 6 hours. Training in the VTOC, and then she does other tailoring jobs that people give her,
mm-hmm,
like sari blouses, curtains, and everything else. So, you know, this is really a success story because this girl, Tana, doesn't even have, I think, a birth cert.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, this is one of the problems that we have faced with many of our girls because there are girls in there who don't either have, they can have a birth cert, but they don't have a blue IC. And so Tanam, for one, she never went to school. because of the fact that she didn't have,
undocumented,
right? Yes, yeah. That's right. She had no documents. So in the end, this has given her an opportunity to actually make something for her life. In fact, she bought her first car. Okay.
Wow.
And you know, she hopes then the next thing she's going to do, she wants to buy her own house. So this is what we talk about empowering.
Yeah, that is a wonderful story. And I'm sure she's not the only one. I'm sure there's plenty more stories like that. Yes, and I think it's wonderful that, you know, yes, you also provide them the skills, but more importantly, how to market those skills.
That's right.
I think that's a very important thing. And I mean, how did the girls take to it? You know, especially, like you say, you know, they come in, you know, they come in trouble, some of them, for example. They come in with maybe a lot of baggage, you know. And how do you, and the volunteers, how do you actually break through all of those sorts of, you know, non-tangible sort of issues? You know, how do you guys work
actually
on that?
Actually, it's a lot of mentoring the girls. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of enrichment classes. We have got like a Vijayaratnam. They have the Maharani program. They provide us with that. And that is like every Saturday, there is something of a program that actually helps to motivate the girls. You know, so it's a lot of mentoring which we ourselves, meaning the teachers and as well as the board members, get ourselves involved in. Because as long as there is an opportunity, we must help the girls. The only girls we really cannot help, let me tell you to be very frank, is those girls who are so disinterested. They come in, they're not interested at all. All they want is that I just want to pass away my time because my parents sent me here. Right. But for those who are genuinely wanting, all right, to do something about themselves, okay, and to get a skill and really go out and have a career, those are the people, those are the girls that we want to help. Just a case in point, there is one particular girl who's studying hairdressing and beauty now. Mm-hmm. The problem with her is that she's got no IC.
Okay, this seems to be a recurring theme. Hmm.
Yeah, she's only got a birth cert. But we found her to be quite, one thing about her, she's a leader. Okay, she's got motivation skills. Her communication skills is good. So we asked her whether she would like to be an assistant trainer in hairdressing and beauty. Mm. Because we have a collaboration with L'Oreal on their Beauty for Better Life. Mm. Okay, and L'Oreal says, why not? We will provide her the training and she can become an assistant trainer. So this is what we're looking at. Girls who are interested, okay, who want to make something of their lives.
Yeah, because I mean, basically, they've just been dealt an unfair card. And, you know, not having an IC is something we all take for granted. And, you know, your whole life is impacted by
that. That's right. Yeah, correct.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. And some of the challenges. Let's talk about some of the challenges. So you said, yes, disinterested girls. Mm. Any other sort of challenges that you've, you know?
I think the main challenge for us is funding. Mm-hmm. Because we need about 1.5 million a year to fund 100 girls, providing them the full board, the accommodation, the food, the operations, the instructions, everything. So 15,000 a year to support an underprivileged girl for 12 months. We have got donors who have supported us now even as long as 20 years. That's like Quad Foundation, MCEF, Bank of America, Merrill Lynch. They have been really our stalwarts in terms of supporting us. But an ECM Libra even. Recently, ECM Libra. But you know, the thing is, every year on year, we just go and look for funds.
Of course.
So that's why one third of our funds actually come from our income generating hostel accommodation. But the rest we will have to find. Okay. So that has always been our biggest challenge. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I guess the struggle also is if you don't have enough, you can't run the programs, and if you don't, you also can't grow if you
That's
don't.
Right. And then we want to give every girl a chance. You know, the easiest thing is you don't have money, cut down on the number of girls. But you know what? There's always the girls that need to be able to come into the VTOC and learn that skill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there, I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about systemic change, you know, is there sort of policies that you would like to see enabled, you know, to give more access to education and things like that?
I think the way we are operating now, I think it's moving along where we want it to be. Because last year, we decided to then implement a transformation program, the Y itself. And is implementing a 3-year transformation program. The first one that we did was we wanted to introduce young members.
Okay.
And so that was why we brought in a program officer. We set up, actually, we have a YWCAKL youth wing now that's focused on the young people. Don't forget, we have a bunch of 100 young women, even though they're with us for 12 months, but, you know, they can still be members later on as well. Okay. Mm-hmm. So one of the things then we wanted to do was we wanted to actually introduce this thing about being a social entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Yeah, this program is really taking off, and we're seeing the girls actually quite very receptive to this. You know, that they know that they got the talents, they can do it. And of course, then the next thing was this, we really needed to go and renovate the premises. Thank goodness we had some money in the kitty because of the MRT, and the MRT station is just next to us. And so we didn't really have to go out really fundraising for the renovations. But all renovations we should be targeting before the end of the year, and hopefully next year, it will then generate for us enough income to actually partially sustain our operations. Yeah.
Okay, all right. And you're going to celebrate your 20th anniversary. I mean, what are the plans moving forward?
Oh, yes. Just to let you all know about the event that's happening this Saturday, our tagline is actually celebrating women, empowering women, 1998 to 2018.
Lovely.
Yeah. And what we're going to have is that we're going to have actually a festive market in the morning, all right? And the festive market is going to showcase all our girls' talents. So we will have things like our culinary girls baking jams, chutneys, cakes, our tailoring girls selling their tote bags, pouches. We have an express manicure services and many Christmas craft items as well.
I was just about to say, Christmas is around the corner.
Yes,
perfect time.
That's right. Perfect time. Come and support us, because whatever we are showcasing, we're actually showcasing the talents of the girls.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then there will be a chance to actually tour our new hostel premises, you know, an official program at 3 p.m. where actually we're going to showcase our girls' fashion show, the VTOC fashion showcase. It's akin to like the Victoria's Secret kind of fashion show.
Okay. And this is open to all.
Open to all. And if you just come in for our official program, you know, just do a donation. It's a donation. It's entrance by donation. Yeah.
Entrance by donation. Yeah. Okay. All right. And lots of things to buy. And I guess bring your own tote bag so that you can buy stuff.
Yeah.
You know, just to be a zero waste.
I hope you buy
possible.
The tote bags from us and put your stuff inside. Okay?
Even better idea. Even better idea. So, yeah. So, and then how do you hope to move forward? I mean, what's in store for the next 20 years?
Well, we hope to be around for the next 20 years and more.
And
okay.
More.
Mm-hmm. Our philosophy is still the same. We're still going to provide hostel accommodation for young women. Okay. That has always been our ethos. And we hope that with the transformation plan that we have implemented since last year, we hope to increase our young membership in our YWCA care.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're still making an impact on girls.
Okay. So, I mean, if anyone's interested to join, you know, either as a volunteer or they want to join as a member, you know, how do they go about actually doing that?
Well, we have the website, mm-hmm. www.vtoc.org. Mm-hmm. You know, there are ladies who say, hey, I'm very good at flowering. I said, great, you know, then we can we have a program that we can actually set up that you can actually teach other women, you know, to do that.
Yeah.
There are also volunteers now who come in to help the sewing and tailoring girls because of the orders that they're getting for their tote bags, their pouches and everything. They're coming in and they're helping to go and make sure that the production line is there, you know, and that they will meet, you know, whatever orders that comes in. Mm-hmm. These are some of the things that, you know, if you want to be a volunteer, just come in and tell us what are your talents and what you like to teach, or, you know, to provide something. Or even English teachers, for example, they can come in and do our English enrichment classes, for example.
Right.
So there's always a place for any volunteer who wants to come in.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, now in this age of social media as well, there's probably a need also for, you know, how to market yourselves online.
That's right.
And things like that. You
That's
know,
right.
It's easy, but it takes concerted effort, isn't it? You
That's
need
right.
people to do that. So there's that. And, I mean, you know, you've seen, like I said, 20 years it's been, you know, you've seen girls. Do you also see the girls coming back to help other girls as well?
Yes, it's true. Yes, we see girls coming back to help other girls as well.
Okay.
So, I mean, the success stories is all the girls who come back, you know, and they actually then become part either of our staff, either the staff of the VTOC, or actually they become as volunteers.
Okay.
So we see that. And
it's lovely,
and you know, the thing is that we are always so appreciative of any volunteer who gives back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And in, you know, if corporations are listening, you know, if they are interested to get in touch as well, I mean, what's the best way to do that?
Corporations are very welcome. You can help us with donations. You can help us with sponsorships. You can even help us with industrial training or internship.
Mm-hmm.
Because we actually offer to all our girls. So our girls do stints of internships or industrial training. That is something that would be very welcome.
Yeah.
You know,
like
hotels, for example, if they want, they could have our culinary and baking girls to go and have a stint in their hotel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be great. That is something that we will be looking forward to.
Okay, yeah. All right. And again, I guess just head to the website and there's all the contact details there.
That's right, yes.
Okay, there. All right. So before we end, just one more time, if you could just tell us where the event is happening and, you know, how people can get there and what to do.
It's at the YWCA KL. We have called it named now the YKL.
Okay.
12 Jalan Hang Jebat in Kuala Lumpur, sandwiched between Wisma OCM and the Methodist Boys School.
Okay.
All right. So you can't miss us. You can't miss this spanking white building that has been renovated now. Okay.
Okay. All right. And it starts from?
It starts from 10:30 with the festive market. And then join us for the official program that starts at 3 p.m. And, you know, be participate in really appreciating all our girls as they're going to show off all their creations.
That's wonderful. And that's happening this Saturday. And I just thought of something, you know, Christmas is around the corner. A lot of companies are going to work on the, you know, year-end gifts to a lot of people.
Yes,
this is a great place to come and source for some ideas.
Yeah,
and for some,
great. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Thank you so much, Joanne, for joining me today.
Thank you very much, Juliet, for inviting me here.
My pleasure. I've been speaking to Joanne Yeo. She's the president of the YWCA Kuala Lumpur. She's also the board governor of the YWCA's Vocational Training Opportunity Centre. And we were talking about the work that the VTOC does, you know, in empowering young women through business and vocational training. Again, if you'd like to get in touch or if you'd like to find out more, that website is vtoc.org. If you miss any part of this interview or any previous Feminist Fridays interviews, you can search for the podcasts on our BFM app, available on Google Play and the App Store. And you can also find our podcasts on Spotify now. Just search for BFM under Spotify. You've been listening to Feminist Fridays on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.